If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Billy Embody. With me in his Riverland Roofing studio is Ben Garrett. Ben, happy Monday to you, brother.
Happy Monday, Mr. Billy Embody. I am sorry that I still have not revised the intro to include your name. And secondly, it's been a minute. Bill just went through a week of parenting madness. Jack, his son just turned 1 year old. Happy birthday to Jack. And Jack wanted to celebrate it as difficultly as possible. How you doing?
Man, I tell you, between him getting sick early last week to get in the party ready to go, it was quite the time for us. But a lot of great family and friends. It was a blast this weekend. So we are back on the grind. Spring balls, recruiting, portal, and, you know, unfortunately, no more basketball. But, you know, we're not going to dwell on the loss. We're going to dwell on the good things that happened this season.
First of all, the loss, what an incredible game. What an incredible game.
It really was. It really was.
What a fun, competitive game. Ole Miss laid it all out there, played a tough game, didn't shoot like it had the first two games of the NCAA tournament when they were nearly 50% from three, made it a much more competitive game. Ole Miss still jumped up about 12 points, I think. Just the shooting inefficiency that could come back to bite Ole Miss came back to bite them, but the defense and the competitiveness was exactly what you wanted to see from Ole Miss in the Sweet 16. There was not a time as I was watching the game that I thought Ole Miss was going to lose until that one play. That one play when Ole Miss is leading, I think it was 58-57, Sean Padula is bringing the ball down. He tries to, as Michigan State is pressuring the ball almost in the full court, tries to pass it off. Great individual effort by the Michigan State player, intercepts that pass, drives down, dunks, really changed the complexion of the game, gives Michigan State a lead. And like Sean Padula and all of them, Chris Beard, it's been a mantra all year, has said, they just ran out of time. They ran out of time. Now, that doesn't really work when you lose by 30 at Auburn. But outside of that loss, really, you could say that Ole Miss just ran out of time. And it's unfortunate, but now you're seeing – Chris Beard and staff put gas pedal to floor as they try to not just let that be a one-off, as they try to do even better. The Elite Eight, the Final Four, I put it on Twitter. I might have been a little bit excited because I was just very proud of how Ole Miss handled that stage against one of the very best coaches college basketball will ever see, a team that had been together for a long time. Jace Richardson is a tremendous player, an NBA player, Jason Richardson's son, and yet Ole Miss really made life hard for him. They put their best foot forward. Sometimes you just come up short. But now it's about the portal. Now they're out of season. Now they're out of season with football, which is in spring. They got another one tomorrow. We'll be out there. I'll be out there. I'll be out there. Every time we're available or offered availability, I will be out there at spring football practice. But the only sports that we really pay all that much attention to here on Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, are out of season, save for recruiting, and baseball is still in season, of course, and they just took two or three from Florida. So a very eventful weekend as Jack is celebrating his birthday, as Billy is trying to be a good dad. A very eventful weekend, a great time, even though most of the seasons that you're used to paying attention to on a day-to-day basis are out of season. Some great individual and team accomplishments across campus, and now building towards another appearance in the NCAA tournament next year because Chris Beard is here and so many names to pay attention to. But like Bill said, some football commit season. I think we're kind of rolling into that. You know, portal and commit season. It's not just the portal. It's also commits. But 26, 27, Ole Miss football is getting some stuff done. And before Bill jumps into that, again, I'm in the Riverland Roofing Studios, as I am every single time. Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs, my friend Billy Landis. I saw him actually at Ole Miss Pro Day on Friday. He was on one side, I was on the other. And Pro Day was really fun because I was one of the very few media members there. Everybody else was in Atlanta for Sweet 16. Had a good time. The only two people are top early round draft picks for Ole Miss that ran 40s, because I've seen this over on the board for the last handful of days. The only two that ran that are notable as far as early round guys were Jared Ivey and Prince Suman Mielen. Trey didn't run. Jackson didn't run. There wasn't a lot of testing from those high-end guys. The one who really showed out in testing was Trey Washington, and he's more of an undrafted back end of the draft kind of guy, but I think he might have made himself some real money. And regardless if Trey Washington gets drafted or not, Bill, he's going to be on an NFL roster for 10 years, just like Mike Hilton. AJ Finley's a lot like him. I think that you're going to see the same kind of roster stick for Trey Washington as you have for those guys, because he ran a 4.48, put up 23 in bench press on 225, while Jared, with his long arms, only got 15. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much to like about Trey Washington and how he's tested, not to mention a four-year starter at Ole Miss. So maybe that was what Pro Day was really about. And also, of course, Jackson Dart's throwing session, which if you go to YouTube, the Ole Miss Spirit YouTube, I was there for the entire thing. I stayed there for hours on hours and shot more than I really realized I shot. I think I ended up getting like 30 minutes of video that I had to parse through, you know?
It's rolling too. I mean, it's thousands of views. People want to know about Jackson Dart. And hey, he's going to New York too. Or where's the draft this year? It's Lambeau, right?
Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Wow. Frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
The probably the hardest draft location for fans to get to.
But also, if you do get there.
So historic. So cool.
But if you do get there, it should be really, really fun. I've only attended one draft, and that was 2016. What a draft to pick when the Laramie Bong mask stuff came out, right? Like, I'm sitting there mad because the Cowboys passed on Jalen Ramsey to draft Zeke, number 4 overall. Little did I know, my night was barely getting started. But that was a year that Ole Miss set the record for 3 first-rounders. Laquan, who's still in the league 10 years later, say what you want to, didn't live up to the first-round grade, whatever. He's still in the league 10 years. Robert Kimdichie is not in the league anymore, but he got drafted by the Cardinals. And then Laramie, who has been the highest-paid left tackle for years now been traded from the Texans to the Commanders. What is it about? It's like these teams know that the worst way to punish Ben, right, is to put A.J. Brown on the Eagles, Laramie Tunsil on the Commanders. What's next? Eli was a friggin' quarterback for the Giants, right? And yet I've got Dak Prescott and, you know, Jonathan Mingo's on the Cowboys, but that's kind of new. You know, Sam Williams can't stay healthy. Point is, hey, NFL teams, there are other teams to trade to outside of the NFC East, okay? And if you are going to trade to the NFC East, get Jerry Jones to give you A.J. Brown or Laramie Tunsil. That would be great for my sanity, if anything else. But anyway, Billy was there at Ole Miss Pro Day. It was really fun to see him. Talk to Caden Lee. Talk to T.J. Dottery. T.J. Dottery wants to do some content stuff with us at the Ole Miss Spirit here on Talk of Champions. Great conversations. Great time. And, Riverland Roofing powers everything we do. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. I'm so thankful for Riverland, Billy Landis and them. They do great work in, you know, putting roofs on houses. I mean, this is the only place to go. But not just that, good people and hardcore Ole Miss. We spent his whole Friday at baseball and Pro Day. That's how you know my man's all the way
That's
in.
Committed.
It, you
know?
That's committed. That's committed.
Speaking of commitments, is that a perfect segue to jump into the big news over the weekend? Hey, for the second straight week, we're starting off a week talking about a commitment that Ole Miss landed. And this one is an in-state prospect and a heck of a way to start off the 2027 class for Ole Miss. And that's LaMarcus Jones. Really, really impressive prospect out of Callaway High School now. Played last year at Hartfield Academy in Jackson, but transferred to Callaway now. He's settling in there, he told me, and we talked on the phone a little bit after his commitment, but this is one that I felt like Ole Miss was in a really good position for early on, and they end up getting him to commit, which is huge. You know, start that early season or early run on the 2027 class, and he's a big but also lean offensive tackle. And when you look at his sophomore tape, you know, somebody who's certainly still developing a little bit just from a physical perspective, but has a really nice understanding of how to play the position, I think. You know, just getting a chance to watch him at Under Armour New Orleans just a couple weeks ago, I thought he looked like one of the top tackles in the 2027 class. And right after that, On3 puts him in the On300. He's right inside it, 26th overall offensive tackle in the country, a top 10 prospect in Mississippi. And he also plays a little bit on the defensive line there, at least for Hartford Academy it did. So we'll see if that continues at Callaway. But somebody who's been to Ole Miss multiple times, developed a really good relationship with John Garrison early on. And this is the nice thing, I think, that you're seeing with Ole Miss a little bit in their recruiting efforts. They're getting to the point now where now that they're back to prioritizing the high school ranks and they're putting that time and effort and energy into it, you can get some of the top prospects in the state to commit early and then maybe recruit for you and build that momentum for that class early on because they want to be there, because they want to be a part of the program. So I really like this commitment. He's a really mature young man for being just a sophomore, soon to be junior in high school. I think this is a really nice building block and somebody that should end up starting multiple years at offensive tackle for Ole Miss and the potential to be that all SEC type of offensive tackle. Once he adds weight, as he gets older and gets stronger and all of those things, he's going to look like $1 million out there on the edge.
No doubt about it. In 2027, a couple things. 2027 yeah. for Ole Miss, I mean, for not Ole Miss, but the state of Mississippi recruiting is crazy. So to get started early is important. Yes, this class, last year's class, I mean, Mississippi has really been showing out the last handful of years. And Ole Miss has secured Caleb Cunningham. It already signed him. He was the number one prospect in Mississippi for his class. Going after Tristan Keys, currently committed to LSU, but they're all in for him. That is not even close to being a done recruitment. I think Ole Miss feels like it's in a better position today, even with him committed to LSU than they were not too long ago. So Ole Miss in 2027, again, continuing the trend that we've been seeing lately. They believe it matters that they land the very best in Mississippi. I don't disagree. And this is one of the very best in Mississippi. The question on Twitter, after LaMarcus Jones committed an On300 offensive tackle committed the other day, came from Dylan Hammock, and I'll leave it to you because he said, hey, Ben, and I'll be honest with you, I pretty much have no idea. Dylan Hammock, I'm going to change Ben to Billy. Hey, Billy, do you think he reclassifies to 2026 because this seems like a very early commitment?
Ooh, that is something that I'll have to ask him. Truthfully, I don't know if he has plans to do that. Maybe that's a part of why he's going to Callaway, but can maybe get a jump on that and reclassify. I do know Hayden Ainsworth, like we had heard about him. He's now in the 2026 class. He's one of the top offensive linemen in Mississippi. I think Ole Miss sits in a good spot there. He's out of Biloxi, but that was one where we kind of heard about it about a month or two before it actually happened. And with LaMarcus, I haven't heard that yet, but I'll check in with him and get an answer for you guys, and we'll deliver it on Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit.
Or the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. If you sign up today for just $1, $1, you get all of this information all the time. All we do is talk about Ole Miss sports all day, every day. We try to avoid the other stuff that drives you nuts. We just want to talk about Ole Miss sports because there's plenty to talk about. And an obvious topic of discussion right now is the commitment of On3 offensive tackle LaMarcus Jones. And it's a good start for 2027, regardless of whether or not he classifies, reclassifies, which – according to Bill, we don't know. We'll ask about it. We'll find out. We'll report it. But again, Ole Miss has put a priority on in-state and then building out transfers around that. And this is another good example of it. I wanted to say real quick too about Pro Day because I didn't really get to touch on it. The big news from Pro Day, if you missed anything, just go watch the highlights. You didn't miss a ton. But Jackson Dart, as we were waiting on him to come and talk to us, was meeting with Kellen Moore and the Saints. After Pro Day, they hold pick number 9, I think number 8 in the second round, but I don't think at this point Jackson gets to that. At this point, from everybody I talked to at Pro Day, caught up with Jackson for a little while. He came over and talked to me for a minute. Great dude. Really is handling this process like a pro's pro. I would be shocked if he's not a first rounder. He's going to the draft is what he told me. He's you know, he anticipates being a first round. I mean, it's all tracking the same way. I think at worst, 21 to the Steelers is where he falls, right? So there's a lot to like about Jackson's position, especially coming off of pro day. He performed well. The throwing session was everything you could want it to be, I suppose. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was watching it going, "What? How is this going to change much of anything?" But it was cool to see him get one more go of it with Trey Harris and Juice Wells and Caden Priestcorn. And Caden Lee got in there and mixed it up and talked to Kay for a minute. And Kay was like, "Yeah, I just wanted to get the experience." And Jackson wanted me out there. And sure enough, there was Caden Lee, you know, getting an early taste of what he'll be going through possibly as early as next year. So pro day, there weren't a ton of takeaways because you didn't see all those testing, those big 40s from like Trey Harris or whoever it might be. What you did see, though, were the amount or the notable people that were in attendance, right? Kellen Moore, Brian Schottenheimer from my Dallas Cowboys, Matt Eberflus, the defense coordinator for my Dallas Cowboys. I'm like the only person that probably, I mean, I was telling everybody, "Hey, look, there's Matt Eberflus." Ben, why do you know that? I'm a sicko. I'm a sicko about the Cowboys. I recognized all the Cowboys personnel. All I wanted to do was walk over to Brian and be like, "Hey, man, will you tell Jerry that we could get Keenan Allen for like 1 year at $8 million right now to go across from City?" And I even said to Ole Miss people, I'm like, "Hey, do you think that'd be cool?" Jokingly, I wasn't going to do this. But they're like, "Yeah, I'm sure that'll go really well, Ben." But I'm going to tell you, I was like really close to Brian Schottenheimer. I just wanted to like turn to him and be like, "Hey, man, really, we're not going to do anything opposite City? We're not doing anything?" The only real news is Jackson is going to the draft. Now, as far as other ones, J.J. Pegues said he's still planning. Princely said he's probably going to chill with family and friends. Same with Walter Nolan. That's just how Walter Nolan is, though. Walter doesn't he doesn't care about the limelight. He's about ball and going home. He even says something really funny to us. He's like, "Man, I'm trying not to grow up right now. You know, I just want to play ball, go home, and chill." And I think that's regardless of where he falls. I think Walter Nolan will spend his NFL draft process at home in Olive Branch with friends and family, and he's the likeliest of first-round picks. But Ole Miss could have up to five. I don't think that's going to happen, but if you made me rank them from, like, likeliest to least likely, number one most likely is Walter Nolan. Number two, I think at this point, is Jackson Dart. Number three, Trey Amos. Number four, Princely Umanmielen. And number five, Jared Ivey. So a good day, a kind of day of celebration for how important this group particularly has been, and they put on a good showing. So I just wanted to touch on that. I wanted to get that out of the way because we got so much recruiting to talk about. Basketball portal. We've already talked about an on-300 offensive tackle commit for 2027, but Jackson Dart is going to the draft. Let's hope he doesn't have the Will Levis experience. Let's hope he doesn't have the Aaron Rodgers experience. Let's hope our man gets off the board no later than 21 to the Steelers, which I think is probably a pretty safe bet right now, Bill.
Let's hope that he travels in style as well up there, Ben.
Man, and he had like necklace on. I think somebody said he wears this necklace all the time, but he had this like diamond encrusted necklace. I remember him wearing necklaces, like, but this thing was fresh. And I was like, "Why haven't we been asking him about this? You know, my man's gonna be in style." That's the point. Yes. Jackson Dart, whatever the drip is, you can pretty much guarantee that it's gonna be nasty, it's gonna be sick. And he's going to be there in Green Bay at the frozen tundra.
And there's nothing fresher than stepping out of a private jet. And that's why Jackson Dart might need to hook him up with Status Jet to get him up there. But StatusJet.com is proud supporter of Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit. So appreciate them. Reach out to them today and talk about your options for family vacations. You can do work trips. You can do a bunch of different ways to use their first class service, and you can get a discount on a round trip flight when you mention the Ole Miss Spirit. So make sure you reach out to them today, plan your summer travel, and also get a jump start on football season. They can do that and get out ahead of it as well, because they're not a membership jet service either. So appreciate Status Jet for hooking us up with their support on Talk of Champions.
My hope is that Status Jet was going to fly me to the Elite Eight. I really thought the whole time I was going to the Elite Eight, Atlanta's an easy drive, so maybe they were just planning to send me to San Antonio. I might have put the cart ahead of the horse, though, for a long time in that game, because, again, there was never a time I thought I was just losing that basketball game. Really, just a great competitive basketball game, and it sucks that it ended, but, man, what a ride. And I was asked by my sister-in-law, my non-sports-loving sister-in-law yesterday, she was like, "Hey, is this the best Ole Miss basketball team ever?" As far as talent, that is certainly arguable. However, as far as accomplishment, not. It's not arguable. By far the most accomplished season in Ole Miss basketball history. It's not just matching the single greatest accomplishment in program history, one single solitary Sweet 16 appearance, Bill. It's not just that. It's beating Kentucky on top of beating two top four opponents of the three all-time top four wins that you have. It's the non-con where Ole Miss would get in trouble because they'd lose a game or not be able to get a quality non-con or two. They stack the non-con. Colorado State beat them. BYU beat them, played Purdue to one possession, beat Louisville, all tournament teams. This was the strongest showing from start to finish, consistently strong showing by an Ole Miss basketball team ever. Most talented, that's, again, arguable. I'm very partial to the Ansu Cisse team, for example. The man went to the Supersonics, who don't even exist anymore. But this team, they accomplished more than any other had. Like at times, like the win over Kentucky would have been what was celebrated. Like, hey, yeah, they only won 20. They won 20 games and they beat Kentucky. And that was just a part of the story, I think, is really important. And you look now to the future, Bill, and what they're trying to do. They lose 9 seniors.
Crazy.
I think priority number one is to get Malik Dia back. Now, yes. Malik's going to flirt with the NBA just like he did last offseason. He's losing a lot. Like, it really hit him hard that he's not going to get to play with Sean Padula again, that he's not going to get to play with this team that really came together and formed an historic Ole Miss basketball team that we will be talking about forever. It really hit him hard. So how does that affect? I don't know. But one thing we do know is that Ole Miss is not going to sit on its laurels and just wait back and wait for the portal to come to them. They're already attacking it. 2 visitors on campus today. Pop Isaacs, transfer from Creighton. He played under Mark Adams, current Ole Miss basketball assistant coach at Texas Tech. That one I've heard is done.
Like Pop Isaacs.
Yeah, that one I've heard is done. And if it is done, if it does get done, yes, he had the injury last year, but with Pop Isaacs, you're getting instant impact. I mean, yeah. He only played in a couple games last year for Creighton because he was hurt, still averaged over 16 points per game, shot 39% from three, made 86.2% of his free throws. He's a bucket. So immediately you're getting scoring. And the second visitor is Carter Welling from Utah State, a forward that's really skilled as a passer, a lot like Jamin Brakefield in terms of how he's built.
Utah Valley.
Yeah, Utah Valley.
He doesn't even my guy doesn't even have a profile. I got to create one Valley. after this show. But Utah Valley, but he was excellent there.
He's a dude. 6'10". Yeah, he was the WAC Defensive Player of the Year. Yep. He was all WAC second teamer. Started all 32 games last year for Utah Valley. 13.1 points, 6.3 rebounds, 1.4 assists, and 1.8 blocks. These are dudes. And it's, again, the profile that we're used to seeing with Chris Beard. Everything's switchable, positionless basketball, skilled bigs who can step out to three. That's exactly what Carter Welling is. So, again, they're not waiting for the portal to come to them.
No.
They are diving headfirst and going after it. And there are a number of other players, too. And if you go to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, I got a story up right now. Ole Miss basketball casting wide net in transfer portal after its Sweet 16 run. So many names listed in there, but the two you need to be paying attention to right now as far as immediacy and something popping are Pop Isaacs and Carter Welling, who are on campus at Ole Miss on this Monday.
Yeah, and you got to give the staff a lot of credit here for being all over it, despite that uncertainty of, okay, how far would they advance or whatever. Joe Tipton, who's one of our national analysts, does a great job covering the portal. I mean, nobody knows more than Joe about the portal and about recruiting in general. And the Rebels, their season comes to an end, and immediately Joe is like, hey, they're hosting Pop Isaacs on Monday, and things are in good shape there. And that's what you want when you look at Mark Adams and his relationship. They missed out on him last year, and now they're gonna go after him, and you would think, hopefully for the Rebels, get him done and get him across the finish line. He would be a huge addition there, and we'll be tracking it all the way through Wednesday, which is when he's expected to depart Oxford. And that's the interesting thing. I think sometimes actions can obviously speak louder than words when it comes to recruiting and comes to transfer portal. When you look at these transfers, most of them are taking 24-hour visits. They fly in the night before, they conduct the visit, and they're out that evening, and they're on to the next.
Right.
For him to be spending that much time in Oxford, I think says a lot about where it stands.
I think so too. And again, I think that one's getting near the finish line. It makes too much sense. There's too much connective tissue with Pop Isaacs and with Ole Miss. So that's probably the first big domino. Some other names that you need to be paying attention to: Darian Ford, Arkansas guard. Ole Miss did have interest in Kennesaw State transfer Adrian Woolley, but Woolley, who averaged 18.8 points, 5.2 rebounds, 3.6 assists last season as a true freshman in CUSA, he was named CUSA Rookie of the Year, as well as to the CUSA All-Tournament team. He's cut his list to Louisville, reportedly. Louisville, Auburn, Alabama, and Kansas. So possibly he's originally from Tuscaloosa. Connect the dots. Like, yeah, Ole Miss reached out, touched base. That was probably not happening. But Ford could make a lot of sense as far as ball-dominant guard, former top 100 recruit. You're losing Sean Padula and Juju Murray, both of which primarily dominated the ball for you. So Pop Isaacs is a lot like that. Maybe he's different profile as far as a scorer. He's more of a three-level scorer than even Sean Padula was. Got a little bit more height to him as well. But point is that, you know, you know what they're looking for. You know what they're going to get. As far as bigs, they're looking for skill, positionless, switchability, step out to three, guards, ball dominant to start, because they got a lot to replace. But again, it comes back to, can you get Malik Dia back in the fold? If you can, and also add Pop Isaacs with Carter Welling, you're really starting to put it all together. And don't forget, they're not completely barren. They have returning Eduardo Klofke, who was one of the few true freshmen who was every day in the rotation for Ole Miss basketball over the course of a top 25 year and run to the NCAA tournament in Sweet 16. He likely steps into a starting role. John Bowl, there have been transfer rumblings about him, but I know that he loves Chris Beard and Chris Beard loves him. And Chris told me, you know, a couple months ago how, yeah, he wasn't playing a lot, but he's on course as far as his development and what they're looking for from him. They didn't really need him for this year. They do need him potentially for next year. So if John Bowl sticks around, another big piece, and Robert Coward, if he gets into the portal or not, he could be a depth piece as well. But where they're really going to make their hay, I think, starts this week, and it's going to be a full-on sprint until April, I think it's 24th, when the portal closes. There's so many names out there. I wanted to drop a few more just so y'all can remember if I can get them in front of me. Jakari White from North Dakota State, he's a guard. Guinnipeg forward Amari Monroe, Chase Forte from South Dakota. I mean, there's just a ton. They're casting a wide, wide net. Georgia Southern's Adante Holloman. They wanted him, or recruited him at least, last portal cycle. Could he be an option for them again? I think he's more of a back burner guy behind guys like Pop Isaacs and behind Carter Welling, but that they've got a wide net that they have cast for players to fill in, and they have to get immediate stud step in and play, because they've set the expectation. They did this last year. They look at all the guys that were 1 year: Sean Padula, Dre Davis. Pick your guys. Now that you had your veterans like Juju, who'd been there 2 years, you know, you had Matthew Morrell and Jamin Brakefield. You don't have necessarily that luxury, but you do have an Eduardo Klofke back who understands the system, that's going to be there and is a great culture guy and can shoot and can defend. Not to mention that, you know, Chris Beard has shown you can portal your way to every year relevancy. And at this point, he's created a formula that is working like gangbusters at Ole Miss. So can't wait to see what he puts together. And it starts today, like I said, Pop Isaacs and Carter Welling both on campus. Can you get one or both in the boat, in the fold? Maybe build some momentum for Malik Dia. Start to put some other of these pieces we mentioned around. And you're, again, back cooking with bacon grease. So great work by Chris Beard and company this year. Even more, you know, important and impressive against the backdrop of he's still here. He's still here and built. Yeah. You know, it's a great time for Ole Miss sports, basketball, the women. UCLA was, you know, they ran into a beast, but they battled their tail off, and they're busy in the portal as well. You've already seen about four or five girls get into the portal, but Ole Miss is going big, big game hunting. Yo and them are going big game hunting, and there are a couple that they're already potentially on the precipice of landing because the players that they're targeting got into the portal with do not contact tags. That means they know where they're going.
Yeah, that's what you want.
That's what you want. And immediately it's like, well, these are girls you need to watch for Ole Miss. So the women, the men, great times, exciting times. usually when basketball is over, everyone just forgets about it and moves on to Swayze Field, where Ole Miss is now back in the top 10 and in the top 25 for the first time in years. And they, you know, it's been a long, hard journey, but don't lose sight of this is where the work's getting done for basketball and for football too, because spring football is happening. We'll be out there. I'll be out there Tuesday. Me and Jakey will be out there. Hopefully Bill can fly in on a status jet and be with us sometime again too, you know, but, it's an exciting time, even though we're so out of season now. You know, it's like we got baseball to carry us, you know, Ole Miss soccer and softball, all those things. We pay attention to all of it. But what drives this thing, we're out of season. It's like it's almost no man's land except for the fact that they just went to the Sweet 16 and look who they're talking to. Crazy, crazy, crazy times and elite competitive times for Ole Miss sports writ large.
Yeah, and you've got another 3 weeks of the portal, like you mentioned. And I think that's an underrated thing. Like when, let's say Ole Miss gets hot, gets two, gets Welling, gets Pop on board, then you can start building even more and you feel a little bit better. But there's three more weeks of guys being able to enter.
Mm-hmm.
And basketball.
You're already well over 1,000.
Yeah, and basketball is by far the most crazy out of the transfer portal worlds, you know, between football, baseball, basketball, all of those sports. Basketball is making the most money. It's the most wild. The front loading that's going on in this portal window is just insane. So it's a journey. And I always try to encourage people that whenever the journey ends and it's middle of the summer, and that should be when Ole Miss is done at the latest, that's when you can kind of assess and start thinking about, well, how's Chris Beard and the Rebels going to look next year? How's Coach Yo going to have the ladies looking? You know, those are all of the timeframes of this, because there are that many players in the portal. And, you know, Ole Miss has also done a little international recruiting from time to time too. So I think, you know, I'll be interested to see if Bowl goes in. That's one that you, this is the hard part about basketball. And I totally believe this about it. Yes, they have one true window, because their season, you know, spans two semesters. But
as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But 30 days
mm-hmm.
is insane. I mean, the amount of time the coaches have to spend babysitting their own roster while building the other roster for next year is nuts. Like,
that's give them 10 days. They can have unlimited analysts now, because it's like, all right, y'all babysit.
Yeah, yeah. Roster,
you know? Yeah. That's the thing. It's nuts. And I appreciate it compared to football, because at least with this, it's not open. Well, it did for basketball too. Like after the Sweet 16, the first portal window opens. That's insane. Yeah. That is insane. I have no idea anymore who's in control, who's making decisions. Like Deion Sanders comes out and says, I want to play another team for spring football. Fran Brown up there at Syracuse says, I'll do it. They appeal to the NCAA. NCAA says, no, you can't do that. Just do it anyway.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do? And that's the thing. There's no adults in the room taking charge and putting guardrails in place for this. Because imagine if you're watching the NBA and, you know, second round of free agency opens. Imagine if you're watching the NFL and the wild card round free agency opens. It doesn't make any sense, but no one cares about this. You got the NCAA that are mad because they're like, well, y'all wanted this. They can't be adults. They just got to be like petty little jerk-offs, you know. But like somebody's got to step in and say, this is nonsensical. It's hurting the athlete. It's hurting the school. It's hurting fandom. It's deteriorating, really interest in the sports themselves, because they're like, oh, I'll tune in when the season starts. That's not how this has long-term viability. You got to be able to follow this stuff, and there's no regulation to it. I don't think there's going to be regulation to it at any point. At this point, I'm figuring I'll be dead and gone before they figure out guardrails for this. You know, it's so gone, Bill. And it's unfortunate, because you can't even celebrate the NCAA tournament, the accomplishment for what it was, long enough, because heck, we're here on Monday talking about Pop Isaacs and kids coming to campus, which is great. You know, we want to keep
good fodder, but yeah.
Yeah. But like, this is untenable. At least we think it is. People keep figuring it out. You know, they keep guiding themselves through this miserable, miserable swamp that is the NCAA creation. But, I think that there's got to be something eventually that comes of this. I doubt it. I don't believe in any bureaucracy to begin with. So, like, screw all the suits and all the old men making all their money. They can just fix my friggin' windows. All right, just fix the windows. Tell me when, Like, let them go in after the season is over. Let there be a normal free agency period. That's all you got to do. If like you can flick your you know, snap your finger one day and get this done. Like, what are we doing? But apparently it's way too much. So yeah, I find it absolutely absurd, the calendar. And that we're 5 years into this shit. Sorry, God. But we're 5 years into this. And we're still doing it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. Why, like, where are the people? Who are the people? Like, where's the Mike Sheridan jerk who came to Oxford, Mississippi and set up shop in Hugh Freeze's office? You know, a six-year colonoscopy just because they were convinced Ole Miss was big, bad cheater Ole Miss, and they were going to hammer them, right? They didn't have Jack Turkey, but they stayed and they made sure they had already determined what the punishment was going to be. And they, where are these people now? Do they just get to go to brunch every day?
Must be nice.
Do they get to go to the trampoline park in the afternoon? What is your job if not to regulate? And we're not asking you to do the dumb stuff like, hey, Laramie slipped on Chris Kiffin's cow, so that's a level one violation. That's absurd. Yeah. All we're saying is, man, give us a season and off season. Give us a portal window that doesn't coincide with all the celebration of what makes the sports great. You know, it's just, it's taken away and it's killing it. But for us, it's fun because there's nonstop action. Like today, exactly. We've got two visitors. So I'm sorry for the rant on this Monday morning. It's just, I can't get over it. Like, why are we still doing this?
Yeah.
Right? Why are we still doing this 5 years later? This was supposed to be like a temporary thing from COVID. Like, not the portal. Like, the portal should be here to stay from the get-go. I've been saying that since day one. Players should get paid because there's no bitching and complaining about the coaches and their freedom of movement. But we're not going to figure that out. So we'll just keep rolling along with the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, fill it up on three. Popeye's coming in today. You know what I mean? Good vibes only on a Monday. But good grief, this schedule is ridiculous.
You want to talk about some good vibes, and we'll go there in just a second on one of the top transfers that Ole Miss is after on the football side of things. But do want to also remind you guys about our friends at My Perfect Franchise, MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy Ludeke can help you figure out how to change your life when it comes to the franchise model. You can give him a call, 404-973-9901, or email him, Andy, at MyPerfectFranchise.net, and talk about your options, whether it be brick and mortar, whether it be another business model that they have. He can walk you through all of this because he's a franchise owner and a franchise consultant as well, and his services are free. So make sure you reach out to him if you're thinking about leaving the corporate rat race or doing something different. Andy Ludeke can help you with MyPerfectFranchise.net. A big-time transfer portal addition that comes outside of the normal window for football, which begins April 15th, I believe. But Stanford did fire Troy Taylor last week in a wild story coming out about bullying and all that stuff. Go ahead.
Did you see who they've replaced him with for a year?
Yes, it just came out. Frank Reich. Wow.
Dude.
What? Yeah, look, I went out to SMU Stanford this year, and let me tell you, there is not a more unserious Power Four football program than Stanford, in my opinion. I mean, stadium, I heard they downsized it. They didn't add suites. They have no way to make money to support the program because they've got like three suites attached to the press box. That's it. Like they did this whole project where they took the state. It's a beautiful setting, like the mountains in the background. All
and
stuff,
also, but, you know, they still trees, got the pull, like, they still got the pull of a Stanford degree.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really all it is now. It's like, well, I'll get the Stanford degree. You know,
and then I won't get into grad school, so I have to transfer and then go to the NFL from there. But
if I transfer to like Ole Miss to start for 2 years, my credits probably don't transfer, you know. That's another whole thing. Like this whole thing, guys.
Ole Miss is like, those credits, I don't know what those are.
Oh, these credits.
They're like doctoral credits, you know, trying to be applied to a liberal arts degree.
Frank Reich.
General studies. Yeah, Frank Reich. So
Frank Reich,
didn't he coach Andrew Luck at some point? Was he coordinator or something like that?
Yeah, quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator with the Colts.
Yeah,
and he's been out of like he coached Bryce Young. His last coaching job was head coach of the Panthers for Bryce Young, and now he's going to be the head coach of your Stanford Cardinals. Okay,
Stanford
trees.
On the bright side for Ole Miss, there's one of the top transfer portal players now in because of this firing is David Bailey.
Mm.
He's got 14 and a half career sacks, 23 tackles for loss, 111 career tackles. He's now the number three portal prospect, according to On3. He's the top available player in the portal. And look, this is going to be interesting because, as we know, Ole Miss has a defensive line that looks like it's going to be among the best in the SEC once again. They have talent. They brought in Prince Will, Umanmielen. They brought in Deshaun Womack. They've got Sonny P coming back. They've got all these different players that can certainly rush the passer, and at least you think they're going to rush the passer. But if you can get David Bailey, you all of a sudden could turn your pass rush group into just a truly monster front four that can get after the quarterback and really harass opposing passers.
No doubt. It's a huge piece potentially. Here's the thing is I had some people on our message board, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fit of On Three, RiverlandRoofing.com for all your roofing needs, Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, RiverlandRoofing.com. Had somebody ask on the board, they're like, hey, wait a second, why another edge? Don't they need this, this, and this? You don't get Ole Miss isn't afforded the luxury of just, you know, saying, well, you need this, I'm going to pass on a David Bailey because I have a bigger need here. No, the point and the goal is to collect as many good players as possible, period. And if you can put David Bailey, because again, you're right, Ole Miss did go get two top 10 edge rushers, according to On3, and Deshaun Womack and Prince Willie Monmielen. But if you look at their career production, it leaves a lot to be desired, because what Ole Miss did, as it's breaking in over 72% of a new starting lineup, including a quarterback in Austin Simmons, it's taking chances. It's buying as many lottery tickets as possible, seeing what you have, allowing it to rise and fall together. There's so much volatility with this team. What a Bailey would bring is a little bit of what they're lacking, which is proven production, not figurative, but literal production on the stat sheet that they can pencil in somewhere. And it's less of a Chris Hardy situation. Than I thought Chris Hardy was going to help Ole Miss last year coming from Jacksonville State. He had a great pro day, by the way. I'm so happy for him. I hope he has a great NFL career. But he didn't really do anything for Ole Miss this year. This is not really that situation. I think a Bailey could come in and start immediately opposite a Santarian Perkins, who's going to be moving everywhere, rushing the passer, wherever Pete Golding can line him up on three levels to try to get him to the quarterback. And it eliminates a little bit of the volatility that you would otherwise get, just assuming that Deshaun Womack and Prince Will are going to step in and be awesome. Prince Will has produced a little bit more than Deshaun, but like Deshaun is right now, hasn't lived up to his high school recruiting billing. So he looks like $1 million. He's wearing that 15 cold like Jared was. You know, it looks good, but can you turn theoretical into actual? And that's something that we just haven't seen yet. And this is what theoretical looks like. I mean, this is a player that can help you win, get as many good players as possible, and you'll figure it out from there. Right. With this chaotic wild, wild west recruiting transfer nonsense that it is, you don't have the luxury of just sitting around and going, well, let's pass on him because we might need so and so. You'll just raise the money for so and so. If the time comes, you take him now and he could help you. And I'm not saying it's a difference between one or two wins, but what it could do is, again, gives you a little bit more solid footing as far as what the known knowns are. Because if you look across the starting lineup, what are the known knowns, Bill? Caden Lee, Daquan Wright,
yeah.
Diego Pounds, Sonny P, my guy, Sonny TJ P. Dottery. But after that, what are the known
knowns? A lot of questions.
What are the known knowns?
And when – look, I think one thing that people were surprised about with the portal window in December and then just overall looking across the landscape, there wasn't as many like secondary guys that went in and it just wasn't as like fruitful of players like that. And so how can you positively impact your secondary? You can get guys that rush the pass.
That's right.
And different players that'll take you to that next level. And that's kind of the goal with David Bailey, is to bring in a guy who can, you know, do that for you. And so there will be a lot of suitors. There's a lot of programs that need pass rushers, but I do know this is one that Ole Miss would love to get a visit going and love to get him on board. So we'll keep a close eye on it on the Ole Miss Spirit.
And it's a really, really, really good point how Ole Miss, like, what was so good about Ole Miss's defense above all other things last year? Their pass rush. They set new school records for tackles for loss and sacks. And they lost all of their starters from that group. Now, Suntarian Perkins tied with Prince Leumond Mielen for the team leading sacks. Thank goodness he's back, ready to take that junior level step to superstardom and become an NFL edge and all those kind of things. Thank goodness Suntarian Perkins is still here. But if you think about Ole Miss last year, how good it was, and we all know the gripes that we had about that team and losing three games, one thing we didn't talk enough about is really outside of Trey Amos, it was a revolving door opposite the boundary corner Trey, who was an island on his own at field corner. Now, Jaden Kennedy, who's now at Oregon, really settled in there for them and played strong. He wasn't as good at safety as he was at field corner. Isaiah Hamilton had a really good Gator Bowl, returned the interception for a touchdown. You're like, where has that been all year? But that was a revolving door. That was their only question mark on defense, but you didn't really notice it all that much. Now, there were times where you're like, oh, gosh, so-and-so just got whipped. But the reason why it wasn't a persistent issue as far as really costing them games is because of the front, the historic record-setting front, to where they could just rush four and get there because they had that type of quality. They could add more help to the back end. They could protect their field corner revolving door until Jaden Kennedy stepped in and took over. So I think that's a really, really important point that doesn't need to be lost. It was a great point by Bill. The greatest thing you can do if you don't have the options in the secondary, because they're just not available to you this year in the portal, even though Sage Ryan's going to start at corner, Antonio Kite's probably going to start at safety, you know, to help TJ Banks become that player that you've been waiting for him to become, to have Nick Cole become that player that you want, give him as much help as possible. The best way to help a secondary player is to get a pass rush that can just, you know, relentlessly go after the opposing quarterback. So good point. Great point. Yeah, I mean, Bailey is a player you don't – not only do you not turn down or say, well, we need a corner. No, you go, you know, all out to try to ensure that you secure him because, again, it's a team. And if you can make sure that the defensive line and your pass rush are on solid footing, again, it alleviates the issues on the back end in a lot of ways because you're really strong at the second level. And yep. It's not just because TJ Dottery is returning, but I was out there and I stayed with the linebackers last Tuesday the whole time watching Pete work with them. Andrew Jones looks like $1 million. I think Taj Chambers.
Yoked up.
Oh my gosh! I think Taj Chambers could be a versatile menace. Now I don't know how that's going to translate to a higher level, but like you can see the athleticism.
Jarkobe Hobson.
Jarkobe Hobson, and then the guy I think is going to have one of the most immediate impacts on the defense, Jaden Yates, because of his pass rush ability. He's not just a linebacker. He's a guy that can really get after the passer. So if that's how you have to build your defense to ensure that you don't have this large drop-off from the historic numbers last year, best way to do it is to fortify the front, and that's another good example of this. Great point by Mr. Billy Embody, because it doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, Ole Miss is breaking in all five new starters in the secondary, every single one of them.
Yeah.
And it's not just Trey Amos who could be a first-rounder. Trey Washington, who tested well last week at Pro Day, was a four-year starter at safety. Whether you thought he was awesome or where you thought he was just, I thought Trey Washington was one of the most underappreciated Rebels in recent times because of how good and steady he was. And you don't just replace that with the next guy. So helping that group, I think the secondary is the most questionable spot right now. And the best way to address that when you don't have depth of options in the portal is through strengthening, continue to strengthen a strength, could be a strength, more theoretical than figurative, in the defensive line. So great point there, Mr. Billy Embody. Look at you. Setting us off on a Monday.
Yeah. And look, I think we teed up our week very well here. So look, we're going to have a lot more coverage of last weekend's big recruiting group that was on campus for Ole Miss. They're going to have another one this weekend. And then the weekend after that, it's Meet the Rebels and it's going to be packed. So we have tons of really good stuff going up on the site. I mean, including an update on four-star quarterback Landon Duckworth that's up there. So make sure you head over to the Ole Miss Spirit, onspirit.com.
That's happening.
I mean, quarterback recruiting's weird, but like everything, I mean,
come on.
It looks good. It looks good okay. For Landon Duckworth.
See, Billy really doesn't want to, like, I'm trying to not make Billy make predictions yet. I don't want to put your feet in the fire.
Everything we know right now, yes, it should happen.
Okay.
I mean, right? Like, he said Ole Miss is his leader multiple times from his visit in February, the first weekend of February. He was back on campus last week for multiple days, says Ole Miss is his leader. He's going to take some other visits, but then you've got Ole Miss getting the last official visit and they've just continuously prioritized him. They know they need to nail it on the 2026 quarterback recruiting, and Landon Duckworth looks like he'll be that guy. So we'll keep an eye on it.
That was like a star quarterback too. Like Duckworth is a good star quarterback.
Oh yeah, name too. Great name. Great name.
Yeah. Like that's what it's like. Yeah, Austin Simmons got 2 years, but then Duck's coming. I mean, that's pretty dumb, you know. Like, but don't discount AJ Maddox either. I'm gonna tell you, man, he's got some juice. He really does.
No doubt.
Side armor back there. So yeah, Landon Duckworth. I want to put Billy on the spot. I didn't mean to put Billy on the spot, but kind of did. He's like, yes, Ben, it's looking good.
It looks good. It looks good. Also, as we wrap up here, do you want to say, talk to a source, LaMarcus Jones, not going to reclassify. So there we go. We get the answer to round out the podcast full circle.
Nice little button.
Yes. So for Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody on this live Talk of Champions. Hope you guys have a great Monday. Shout out Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. Give them a shout. Appreciate their support. Ben, we'll have a good one. Let's make it a good one this week, everyone.
We'll be back tomorrow. Happy birthday to Jack Embody. I'm glad you're feeling a little better and you got to celebrate. I hope the smash cake was smashed to pieces. I just want to get that in. A little shout out to my guy. But we'll be back tomorrow. We got so much. I mean, I'm fired up, guys. Yes, Ole Miss lost in the Sweet 16. Both teams fell in the Sweet 16. And still today, I'm more encouraged about where Ole Miss is, you know, in totality than I've been in a long time. It's a really, really cool place to be. And we'll be here every day to talk about it here on Talk of Champions. Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. My peoples, Billy Landis and them, they're the best. Few are better than Mr. Billy Embody, though. So good to see you, my friend. Glad to see that you survived the tough week with Jack giving you hell. But hey, man, you got through it. You got through the birthday. So just get ready for the next one. You know what I mean?
Start planning now.
Now start planning, you know, all that.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next time on Talk of Champions. Thanks for listening.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.